Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Manic Candace podcast. It's your girl Candace back at it again with a brand new episode of the podcast. And today, this evening, this afternoon, this good night, I want to talk about something that has been a lifelong journey, a lifelong struggle with me. And it's how to survive sexual assault. I didn't know that sexual assault was so prevalent in our day-to-day lives. A lot of us live with it. The trauma, the event, the assault, whatever you want to call it. It replays in our minds like a movie over and over and over. And I'm not here to tell you about my own assault in detail. I'm not here to unpack the statistics about sexual assault and its effects on all of us. I'm here to talk about how to survive, how to live when it's over. For some of us, you know, unfortunately, it's still going on. And I don't know what to say, because I feel like saying I'm praying for you isn't enough. So, sexual assault is a rape of the soul. It's like taking your spirit and like sucking it out of your body. And you can never get that spirit back. I found this out, that 1 in 5 children in the United States have been molested. That is 20% of all children. And I always question my mental health diagnosis, because I always wondered, if I wasn't assaulted, would I be bipolar? Would I have emotional dysregulation? Would I have executive functioning disorganization or disorder? Would I be having to take antipsychotics every month? Would I have to take sleeping pills? Like, surviving sexual assault is a lifelong, you're going to do it the rest of your life, and you're either going to continue to wallow. And it's not and when I say continue to wallow, it almost sounds like I'm judging you for doing something wrong or punishing you for doing something wrong. But you get so tired of being depressed. You get so tired of reliving the memories. And it's no wonder that some of us commit suicide. But those of us who choose to live, those of us who survive the suicide attempts, because I've had them, you know, we still got to get up and go to work. We still have to get up and feel like there's no one we can talk to about it. Because every time, at least for me, every time I've opened my mouth about it to my family, I've always been shut down, especially the older I got. It was almost like I had to forget it in order for everyone else to be comfortable. It was like, Candace, why don't you just move on? And finally, I took that advice. I was like, fine. You want me to move on? I'll move on. I'll show you what it's like to move on. Oh, I was pissed. I was pissed when I was told that, like, you got to get over it. What do you mean get over my assault? What are you talking about? How dare you say that to me? A victim. And see, that is exactly the root I want to talk about, is putting on the hat of a victim. And yes, you are a victim of sexual assault if that has happened to you. Yes, I am a victim of sexual assault. That is true. But I choose not to be. Every day, I'm going to choose life. And choosing life means taking care of myself, my mental. And if your mental is jacked up because of your sexual assault, let's start to unpack the layers, the memories. God. Let me just give you a brief background. When I was a very small child, I was 6 years old. I'll be real with you guys. I'll be real. I was six. And when you're six, you're so innocent. And you can't understand what happened to you. You can't put it into words because you don't have the vocabulary. You're six. How are you going to describe sexual assault to an adult when you've never been taught anything about sex? I think that the internet has really put a spotlight on an issue that has been going on for thousands of years. It's pedophilia. That's the issue. That's the demon. Once you put a word to what happened to you, I was sexually assaulted. I got power from that because when I was six, I couldn't say those words. But if I could, I would have never stopped saying it because then I would have gotten justice. I didn't get any fucking justice. You know what happened? Nothing. I told them what happened to me and nothing happened. The guy still is, I hope he's dead. I don't fucking know. But nothing happened. And I had to deal with that. I didn't know that I was dealing with the pain of no justice along with the pain of actually being assaulted. I didn't realize that me not getting any justice. See, it might not matter for you, but the fact that like I was wronged and the person who wronged me wasn't held accountable, I felt unsafe. And when you're six and you've been assaulted by a man, you look at every man, including the men in your family, as monsters, as potential abusers. For a long, 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 long time, I'm talking like from 6 years old to 26 years old. I'm going to be 30 this year. I was a victim for 20 years. And it's not by choice because you didn't choose to be a victim, but you can choose not to be. And how do you choose not to be? You pick up the pieces of yourself. And it's not because someone told you to get over it. It's because you want a life. What is life when you have to go about reliving your sexual assault in your brain? And right now, for a lot of you, I know how it feels. It's you have no control over it. I'm not saying that you can have a positive mindset and that's how you survive sexual assault. That's not what I'm saying. It requires a lot of thinking, a lot of crying, a lot of prayer, a lot of... You see, you don't have to do what I did. What I did is I took that victimhood and became a drug addict. Yeah, and that came with its own issues. And I've talked about it a lot. But this is where I like to say it comes from. You see, when you're in victimhood, you start becoming comfortable in it. There's something about being depressed, and there's something about, there is this solitude that, because you're the only one feeling these bad feelings, well, it seems like, it's kind of comforting, and it can be scary to think that you can live a better life, to think that you could have a healthy mind, to think that you could have your life back, to think that you can be the person you were before the assault ever happened. The personality change in me that happened from being a bubbly, sassy, outspoken 6-year-old to a quiet, fearful, angry, and hypervigilant child. No child should have had to have gone through what I went through. No child should ever go through sexual assault. Nobody, child, adult, should ever have to go through sexual assault. And if no one has ever validated you, no one ever believed you, if anyone ever made you feel like you were stupid for having that done to you, you know, I rebuke it. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Like, we all know I'm a Jesus freak in here. But your feelings are validated by me. Know that. So what did I do? I tried the most obvious route. Psychiatrists, therapists, medication. You name a medication and you name a psych medication, I've been on it. Nothing got rid of the PTSD. Nothing got rid of the memories. So what did? Self-love. Radical self-love. Self-love. I mean, self-love starts with no self-love. Self-love starts with, like, not knowing what to do. Self-love is taking care of yourself, is doing the things that you don't want to do, but you know it's going to make your life better. And this is going to sound so cliche. Clean your room. Groom yourself. Make it a habit. Okay, it's a habit. What's next? How do you talk to yourself? Do you tell yourself, you're such an ugly fucking bitch? You're so fucking fat. You're so fucking ugly. If you talk to yourself like that, you're never going to get anywhere in life. You're never going to feel good about yourself. And you're just going to become the very things that you are telling yourself. I know this from experience. After my assault, the hatred I had for the world eventually turned onto myself. I didn't like the way I looked for a long, 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 long time. And I am beautiful. I am fine. Excuse me, have you seen me? I know I'm not on video, but okay, let me stop. I'm very, 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 very attractive. And I say that non-humbly, because why? Be humble. What the face? He made me like this. Okay, stop, Candace. And oddly enough, once I started the routine of, like, okay, let's, because when you're depressed from all the memories and the assault, you don't want to take care of yourself. The last thing you want to do is get pretty for the next person to probably assault you. That is the last thing you want to do. But I'm talking about when it's said and done, it doesn't even matter how long it's been. Don't get trapped in being a victim. Because that can last for years, decades. For 20 years, I hated myself. For 20 years, I talked to myself like, Candace, you're ugly. Candace, you're fat. Candace, you're stupid. Your art sucks. Everything about you sucks. Like everything sucks. Like I would talk to myself like that from 6 years old to 26. I looked around one day in my apartment at the time and I was like, you're not 6 years old anymore. Why? And like I would crash out on my mom and I would always bring up the molestation and I would throw it in her face. I would be like, why? It was like I wanted her to take my side. But I was told eventually, you know, Candace, you gotta get over it. And she said it at first. I took it the wrong way. I've been told to get over it by several different people, but from my mother, she told me in a way that I have to get over it for me. Not for her, not for the person who assaulted me. I have to get over it for me because life was passing me by. My life was passing by. And here I was, still 6 years old, 20 years later. And it was like, I have to choose myself. I have to choose my life. I have to make it better because no one else is going to do the work except me. No one's going to save me. You know, God gave me a body and a mind for a reason. He gave you a body and a mind for a reason. You can have a happy life. Choose it. It's in front of you. Grab it. Do the work. Do the little steps. Baby steps. After you develop some good habits, get a hobby. I love to read. I started reading again. I started shopping again. This is just what I did. You don't have to do that. I started hanging out with my family just to hang out again for the first time. I made sure that I was prevalent in my little brother's and sister's life because at the time, they were, when I started healing at 26, at the time, they were very young. This was like three years, they were like 9 years old. But because of my addiction that I blamed on my molestation, you see, when you become an addict, everything's an excuse except your own behavior. So the molestation became a perfect excuse for me to use drugs. It was my number one, like, even though drugs are bad, it doesn't matter, Candace, because you can do it because you were molested at 6. So you get to do whatever you want because the world owes you because it took your life away. That's how I felt. And for years, I was just high. And I wonder, oh God, I wonder how great I could be if I never, ever used drugs. And that hurts so bad. I'm not disappointed with who I am now. But damn, it makes me wonder. And it's almost as bad as living with regret. So once you develop some good habits, once you get a hobby, you need to start trusting people again. I'm not saying get in a sexual relationship. I'm not saying get in a romantic relationship. Is there a community with that surrounds your hobby? For example, I'm an artist. There's a huge community in Phoenix of artists, and we support each other. If I didn't have that, you know, I would not be choosing not to be a victim every day if I didn't have that support, if I didn't have those friends that were non-drug users, that we just did art together, that we did something healthy together. That was huge. That's going to be huge in your recovery, in your survival story. If you were assaulted as a child, it's going to be hard for you to be around children for a while, because you realize, wow, I was so small when that happened to me. How could anybody ever do that to a child? And then it's like it happens all over again. And it's like children are just triggering and triggering, at least for me. I don't know about you. I know people, I know women who were raped in the military. I know women who were raped by their cousins, raped by their fathers, by their brothers, you know, it's very hush hush in a lot of families. A lot of the times it happens within the family. That wasn't my case. But I'm not saying that to say that like I'm better because it didn't happen to me that way. It's not what I'm saying. The journey of self-love begins with discipline. And that's the discipline of developing those habits that's going to get you out of that depression. Once you develop some good habits, you're going to develop some self-respect and some self-trust that you're going to fulfill those habits every day to make your life better. And then once you have those habits instilled, it becomes second nature. You begin to rewire the way you speak to yourself in your mind. That you look so fat and ugly today, you're disgusting, becomes, oh girl, your eyebrows are all fleek. Your hair looks nice today. You got pretty lips. You're funny. Like, people love you. Your art's cool. Like, you're such a cool person. Like I changed the way I talked to myself, not the way I viewed myself, the way I talked to myself in my brain. We all have an inner voice, hopefully. And you know, that inner voice, hopefully, is our voice. And hopefully it's kind. So once you talk to yourself better, you're going to feel better. And when you generally feel good and you have cultivated those feelings for yourself, no one can take that away from you. Not a predator, not an abuser, not an authority figure, nobody. When you have that self-validation, that's when you have the self-love. It took me 29 years to finally get to self-love, you guys. And loving myself means you're not going to spend the day thinking about your molestation that happened 23 years ago. You're not going to spend the day crying over it. That little girl is gone. But I'm here. And you're here. Amen. So what now? You guys, I can still remember. I can still bring myself to tears. But I don't feel such loss anymore. I don't feel cheated by life anymore. I don't feel cheated by God anymore. Oh, I didn't like God for a while after I was molested. I thought to myself, How could a God allow that to happen to me? I love you. How could you do that to me? How could you let that happen to me? I'm innocent. I'm innocent. And, you know, I don't have the answers. I'm not going to, like, pretend that, like, I spoke to God and, like, everything's okay now. But my life started to unfold. And as the years gone by, the older I get, I start to realize, like, you went through a lot, but you learned a lot. And not everyone get to realize what I've realized and learn what I've learned and conquered what I've conquered, these mental hurdles, these so-called illnesses, disorders. When I tell you my PTSD went out the window, it went out the fucking window. Once I started doing the work on how I talk to myself, you guys, the way you talk to yourself is how you're going to survive sexual assault. If you don't do the habits, if you don't get a hobby, if you don't foster new relationships within that hobby, you have to change the way you talk to yourself. That is the number one way you're going to survive sexual assault. Because when you're sexually assaulted, immediately are these feelings of disgust over your body, over what you look like, over everything about yourself. It's just disgust. And that breeds thoughts that reflect your disgust towards yourself. And the anger towards your assaulter eventually is going to turn on you. And what does that look like? It looks like you bed rotting, binge eating, gambling, high sex addiction, drug addiction. There's a reason why almost all drug addicts have a history of sexual assault. There's a reason why almost all sex workers have a history of sexual assault. And most of them started when they were children. It's disgusting. It's the number one stain on society is pedophilia and sexual assault on anyone. Especially when it's done like in a institutional setting. My God. My God. But if you're sick of wanting to kill yourself, if you're just so sick of being depressed because of your sexual assault, you know, there's a difference between being a victim and healing. You want to heal. Healing is what I described in this whole episode, from the habits to the fixing the way you talk to yourself, to the new hobby, to the new relationships. Thanks for allowing me to be honest. Thanks for allowing me to share, you know, what's been my life's healing advice. This was what I would say to someone if they came to me and told me they were just molested or they were just assaulted. I would be real with them and be like, look, the rest of your life can either be really bad or really good if you want it. Life just got good for me. And I'm glad my suicide attempts didn't take me out. I'm very thankful to make it to 30. I didn't think I would make it this long. And now I just want to have fun, but be responsible because I had a lot of fun in my 20s. But you don't have to remain a victim. That doesn't have to be your identity just because something happened to you. And once you gain your power back, no memory can hold you over ever again. This is Candace with the Manic Candace podcast. Thank you for listening. Please share this episode with your friends, family, and your followers. Rate the podcast 5 stars, please. We're almost at 4 stars. We're almost back at 4 stars. Jesus. Yeah, I don't know when I'll upload this episode. I don't know, tonight. It's late. It's Friday night. Who wants to hear about surviving sexual assault Friday night? Just kidding. But Saturday morning, yeah, tomorrow morning I'll upload it. Yeah. Well, I bid you adieu, my friends. This is Candace with the Manic Candace podcast. Good night, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever and wherever you're listening, my friends. Bye-bye.